Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This is biggest. Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest sports columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing. No, you ain't. Ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interview.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I don't get no interview. I know. I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. Cause I'll make you ugly as soon as it drops. We're on a rampage, bubbles popping up before you know it. There's rubble in dust, cause we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say,
Happy Tuesday, Championship Tuesday, we like to call it.
Here I don't like seeing other people be happy.
Whoa, I don't like seeing other people be happy. I do like seeing other people be happy, particularly if they are Memphis Grizzlies. Today on the show, GP is going to join us in the next segment. Chris Harrington, back. The triumphant return. Answer all of your Grizzlies questions now. And Jessica Benson. What a lineup. Plus, in our continuing line of SEC rankings, Jeffrey, what are we ranking today?
Jeff, we will be doing the, of course, the ever contentious mascot power rankings.
Oh, the SEC mascot. We may actually get some of our guests. I don't know. Maybe Jessica will help us with the mascot power rankings as well. So we will do that all today. But it is...
It's a loaded show, Jeff.
It's a loaded show today, man. It is a loaded show. It is championship. Well, first of all, I'm a little tired because I got up to watch Tiger this morning.
Yes.
4:45.
Mm-hmm.
I got up to watch Tiger. We will tell you what he said about playing in Memphis, which he didn't really say anything directly about playing in Memphis.
Well, Jeff, good thing you've got someone who's fluent in Tiger Woods.
So we will play that. I don't even know when. We might get to it this segment. But it was interesting. I'm a little weary because I got up at 4:45 to watch Tiger Woods. And, of course, I was up burning couches and stuff in last night.
Yes, we all were. Listen, everyone's a little hungover today.
What a mob that was out on the streets. Like, all of Memphis honking at once. It was...
Especially during the middle of a contentious thunderstorm.
It was something else as the Grizzlies win. The Grizzlies win the title. Do we have, We Are the Champions or something we can play? Do we have that? I paid my dues. You'll remember this team, won't you, forever?
I don't know how you could ever forget it. I do hope as my life goes on, I remember Tyler Harvey's little floater. While Mike Conley is gone, we can still celebrate Tyler Harvey.
Bruno Caboclo?
Of course.
The great Grayson Allen second half performance. Just when you're ready to write him off. And of course. You know, I don't know that this song, it seems a little heavy. Do we have something something that just a smidge. They could be. They could you could use it for a summer league title.
Okay.
But could be just a smidge lighter.
Okay. Let me think in the Calkins library. I think I found something.
Something that would be me.
I think I found something.
It would be me. Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Oh, it was a thriller. As the Grizzlies win the title, 95-92, they had it in the bag. And that they injected a little drama.
Yeah, there was some
that?
Storytelling last night.
You would call.
There was like an 18-point lead in the second half, and then it's like, okay, here we go.
So they had it in the bag, and they nearly gave it away. But they emerged triumphant. And of course, the star of the show once again is Brandon Clarke, who was fabulous. 15-16. Those 16 refer to rebounds, young man. 15 points, 16 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 blocks, a steal in 25 minutes. MVP of the league, of the game, and a champion. Are we prepared to say that instead of saying it's Ja and Jaren, it's Ja, Jaren, and Brandon?
I think that
or
might
that
be
jumping the gun.
I think that might be a little premature, but I will have you know this.
Well, the NBA has gone to a two-star system, right?
Yes.
But it used to be you need 3-star.
Right. The triangle offense, if you will.
Turns out the Grizzlies are going for the
old school.
3 megastars, 3 mm-hmm. superstars. Is it too early to call them? I don't think it's too early to call them superstars.
I think it might be too early on considering 2 of those 3 have yet to play an official game.
You're quibbling.
But again, you can go, listen. It's
quibbling, man.
It's British Open week. Just call me Major Buzzkilling.
He was he shot 55% from the field, did Brandon Clarke. He was 56% from 3. 57. People wonder where the shooting's going to. It's not going to come from him. He shot 9 three-pointers. But still. So it was really kind of fun. Do we have the celebration? Here's the Grizzlies afterwards. Listen to how happy they were.
How about that? Yeah!
It's great. Taylor Jenkins is leading his team to triumph. To me, the most fun about it, besides Brandon Clarke, was seeing how happy Memphis fans are about this, honestly. Like, it is, people were, what's going to happen? Are we going to be able to fall in love with a team again?
Yeah, it turns out we can
the
do that pretty easily.
Is yes. All they got to do is win some damn games in the summer even, and all of a sudden people are get excited. It's fantastic. It's great fun, and it leads to a poll. We are going to have a poll. The poll is, because I was trying to put this title in context with all the other meaningless titles that that's not the right word. Underrated titles.
Yes, there you go.
Undercelebrated, underappreciated. That's it. Underappreciated. I'm trying to put this title where it belongs with the other unappreciated titles in Memphis lore.
Okay.
Okay? And so let's make the poll. Which one of these titles will you cherish more? Right? A, or something along those lines. A, 2019 Grizz Summer.
Okay.
2 or B, 2015 mm-hmm. Grizz Summer. Now, that was the Rusticulous Summer League title, the Orlando Summer League title. Rusticulous. And you may not remember this. He won that in sudden death. And I'm not even joking. The way they did it then was if you go past the first overtime, which they did in the championship game, instead of playing a second overtime, because let's be honest, who cares?
Mm-hmm.
They go net basket wins.
Yeah.
It is literally Southern death, and Rusticulous hits
and he didn't
a
have
shot,
to win by 2.
Wins, and gives them the last summer league title. That was a team.
I remember it like it was yesterday.
That was a team that included. It included the great Jordan Adams.
Oh, yes, of course.
Jordan Adams was on that team.
A person that comes without controversy.
So, summer 2015, summer 2019, we're going to go NIT. What year was the NIT?
Cal's NIT was the 2002 NIT.
2002 NIT champion. Or the, we need another.
You know, you've been mentioning Memphis Palm a lot.
Now they win titles
like year after year after year.
Okay, that's fine. That's under-celebrated. That's underappreciated.
Yes.
Memphis Palm every year. That'll be our poll. Which title will you cherish more? 2019 Summer Grizz, 2015 Summer Grizz, 2002 NIT, or Memphis Palm every year?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what's your vote? Seriously, how do you analyze the competition?
All right.
If you had to vote.
So
tell me when it's out and tell me when it's up and I'll tweet it out. And then we have to decide who's gonna win.
All right, I'll put it live now. And since I don't get a vote, I'll tell you my vote.
Okay,
hold on.
You've tweeted it out under your Twitter handle?
Yes, and I did tag you.
Oh, beautiful. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I understand how this thing works.
I'm by the way, on
You are getting better. I will say this.
No,
you are
improving. I'm on the Memphis Speech and Hearing Center. The University of Memphis has hidden jewels, right? People do not appreciate what that place means.
Completely agree.
For the
university. I have a friend who used to work there.
The music department is just unbelievable, right? The music school is incredible. Two of my kids went to the Memphis Speech and Hearing Center for speech therapy. Just incredible. It's the building, by the way, on the corner. It's a beautiful building on the corner of Park and Getwell. Stunning building. People are incredibly nice, and they do fantastic work. It is nationally recognized. And because my kids were served there, I mean, we both had help there, two of my three, for whatever reason, they asked me to serve on the board. So I'm on the board, and I feel like a complete bump on a log on this board. Like, what do I can't fundraise. I'm not rich. I don't know anything about speech and hearing except for they're fantastic. But then they asked for committee assignments last night. I went to this meeting, and I guess what committee I'm on.
What committee are you on, Jeff?
Well, they combined the marketing. It's the marketing, and that makes sense. Just because I have Twitter followers, that's why I went with marketing. I can tweet things out about the Memphis Speech and Hearing Center, right? So that's why I went marketing. But it's the marketing and technology subcommittee. Can you imagine me? This is why I get to this. Me on the technology subcommittee?
Well, I mean,
I know nothing.
Well, that's not true. Even if you don't know something, you just go to the good people of Cooper Systems and they'll fix it for
that
you.
That is true. I have them. Good point. Okay.
Thank you, Lee and Lauren.
We have tweeted out the Cooper Systems, by the way, is where you can go for all your computer needs right there at the Mount Moriah Office Park. They're not on my sheet today.
No,
there
we're
you
just,
go.
But
we're
they,
just, we're not
that,
on my sheet
that
today.
That shows you how honorable we
that,
are.
That shows how honorable you are. Anyway, okay, so the poll is up. 2000, which title will you cherish most? 2019 Summer Grizz, 2015 Summer Grizz, 2002 NIT title, Memphis Palm every year. How do you analyze this competition?
So if we're breaking it down between summer leagues, to me, this summer league, while you are 100% right, the 2015, who could forget, when you go to
that
a sudden
team,
death golden goal, if you will, or golden basket.
Golden goal. It was the summer of ridiculousness. If you choose this summer, you could argue that it's recency bias.
Sure.
People were excited that year.
Yeah.
And not only that, that team was undefeated. This team, they only kept saying last night on the telecast that it was undefeated.
Right, but you and
but
I discussed this.
It wasn't actually undefeated.
No, it was Taylor Jenkins just coaching his butt off yet again, understanding if you have your guys lose a game, especially in the preliminary round,
touch the bitterness.
Right,
of,
they needed to know what it felt like to have that sinking feeling of a loss.
So you don't think that detracts from
No. If anything, I think it's a coaching hat tip to Taylor Jenkins. But really, what it boils down to
why why are you giving this? I think if you're doing it because you just saw it happen.
No, it's because the other one was a 10-team summer league, and this was all 30 teams in summer league. And listen, I don't believe in taking credit for like the first flight and saying that you're the club champion. No,
I actually, there's two things. I think that's true. This is the whole summer league as opposed to partial. The reason that I'm going to give it just between the two summers, and I'm conscious of the fact that it might be recency bias, but If you look at the celebration when Rusticulus, that video, that's out there. That shot is out there. I looked it up last night. It is the players barely get off the bench. they could care less. Whereas last night we saw players celebrating.
Oh, yeah.
Madly. Right?
Including Jared. Like, part of last night, like, what made me, like, enjoy it the most was watching Ja and Jaren.
Right. Oh, totally. How much
not
they,
to take away from
it.
Anything what those guys
no,
did on the floor.
Totally.
I don't.
But, like, 100%
it was just,
agree.
I'm talking about, like, in terms of my enjoyment.
100% agree was it feels like this is the building something. And that's the other reason, is that this is more important because that summer wasn't the start of anything. The summer would happen, and then you'd have Mike and Mark and Zebo and Tony, right? You'd hope that you'd get something from Jordan Adams. I think that was the second summer, actually. But it was not – it was – this is about something new. This summer is part of a new start. And so that's why I think it takes – it's a new coach. The head coach was coaching. That's another reason that this one made more. I think of the two summer leagues –
Coaching is butt off.
Coaching is butt off. Without any guards, let's be honest. Without any guards to speak of.
Again, more storytelling. You can't overcome the odds, Jeff, if you don't give yourself
so the
some stumbling blocks.
2019 Summer Grizz, okay. Memphis Palm every year, cherished in many quarters, but I don't think, if I'm being honest, and I try to approach every poll with integrity, I don't think it will be cherished. Those individual titles are cherished as much. Maybe
no,
just because they stack them every
I
year.
I would say I think it's part of
it's old hat.
Shout out to Mishiri Robinson. Like I feel like part of it's just because we take them for granted. Like, you know what I mean? I guess it's a little like how Alabama fans feel.
Okay. So then it comes down to 2019 Summer Grizz versus 2002 NIT title. Which is more cherished?
I mean, to me, it's the Summer Grizz just because, I don't know, like the NIT just...
It's embarrassing.
Yeah, it feels like...
That has always been embarrassing. This we know not to take seriously.
Exactly.
That we actually pretended
Although,
something...
Although, shout out to the people on Twitter last night that were doing, yeah, but actually. Like, no duh. It was as tongue-in-cheek as you could possibly be
yes.
last night.
They tried to make that celebration serious, like it was a real accomplishment, and therefore I don't cherish it. I kind of cringe at it. I mean, they should have.
There was a parade.
That team should have. Like, we joke about the parade today. Kyle Vesey was texting Jason Wexler last night, saying Kyle Vesey, of course, from the mayor's office, saying get in touch with me where the parade route's going to be. But everyone's joking. There we knew it was a joke.
Wait, Kyle
here,
joking?
We actually thought it was in the NIT thing. They pretended it was serious.
Yeah,
they tried to take it seriously. And the truth is that team should have been in the NCAAs.
Yes,
so the whole thing was embarrassing. I'm hitting 19. Okay, so I'm clicking 2019 Summer Grizz. How do you think this poll will go? Which title will you cherish most, 2019 Summer Grizz, 2015 Summer Grizz, NIT title 2002, or Memphis Palm every year? So far, 100 votes have been cast.
Right.
Don't look. Don't
right.
look.
I'm not.
And I have the early trend. How do you think it's going to go?
All right. I think recency bias is 100% going to play into this. And I think in general last night, like online, people seem to be very excited.
They were happy.
Yeah. So I'm going to say...
And actually, I think that's a good thing for the franchise.
Oh, yeah. No, I totally...
There's real excitement. They
especially
have done,
when you consider...
They've had a perfect summer.
As you mentioned, consider where this franchise was in April.
A month ago. Right. A month and a half ago. Right. No one cared.
Yeah.
No one gave a... They've had a perfect summer. So, okay.
And then I think
so you
second...
Think, you think it'll be a runaway?
Yeah, I think it'll win pretty big. And then second, I think because it's just funny, I do think Memphis Palm every year...
It's not funny.
No, but, like, the way you phrased it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not besmirching those young women.
I actually think we take pride in Memphis Palm kicking ass every year.
But it's...
Like, we don't celebrate it. We don't notice it. We don't know which of they compete for 7 different things each year. But we do take pride in the fact that we've got a kick-ass Palm squad.
So
I think it's number two. I agree with you.
I'm just saying it's also the way that it's worded.
Yeah, I would vote for it number two as well.
Okay,
and then Summer Grizz, and then the NIT title would be last because I think it's embarrassing. Yeah. I don't cherish it at all.
Yeah, but I could see some snarky people voting for that one.
I think more people will vote for it because people don't even remember the Summer Grizz.
Yes, I think that's the other problem. When you said Russ Smith.
2015 Summer Grizz. So we're predicting it's going to go 2019 Summer Grizz, Memphis Palm every year, NIT, and then 2015 Summer Grizz. That's not how I would vote. I would put the NIT last.
Right.
But
I agree.
So far, by the way, that does comport with the – what do you have for the actual voting right now? Because you have the more updated results.
I do now have the most updated. With 66% of the vote, 136 votes tallied thus far, the 2019 Summer Grizz is the title that you will cherish the most. Coming up in second is Memphis Palm every year at 18%, neck and neck, 15% with the 2002 NIT title.
Really?
Snark always wins on this website.
I don't think that's snark. I think people are really being serious about the
I guess because it was
some
an
people
accomplishment.
Really like it. Yeah. People like that team. The someone points out, and then the last coming up last is the 15 Summer Grizz.
Correct.
Vance over on Twitter says we should have included the title when the Memphis Grizzlies were named the best overall professional sports franchise in ESPN the magazine's 2013 Ultimate Standings.
That's he makes an excellent point. But Vance is the king of making excellent points.
How about the PCL? We left out the Redbirds titles.
Yes. Was last year wasn't even a PCL title, wasn't it? Last year they
last
won the
year,
whole
thing. Damn
thing. They won the piece. They won the championship game too.
We needed to expand this by at least two.
Yeah, they give you four
the
options.
The Redbirds titles are so underappreciated that we didn't even include them. Well, we were going more for humor.
Yeah, but also I can't edit it.
And they give us four. Sorry.
I mean, I suppose we could do the whole segment again if you wanted.
It is funny. Vance is contributing mightily to this radio show
now. Vance deserves a writing,
a
producer's
credit. Play the Tell Me More song. Listen to that.
Yeah.
He points out a problem with mm-hmm. it.
Yeah, the chorus doesn't age well. Or I guess the pre-chorus.
Yeah. So here we go. It's all innocent, right? You got John Travolta and what's her name?
Olivia Newton-John.
What?
Olivia Newton-John.
One of my favorites. Can't remember her, but so. Now listen to this. Listen to this. Does he have a car, right?
Yeah.
She wants him for his material. He wants her for
her looks. She's
in her back seat. Right. But now it gets worse. Wasn't love at first sight. That's what she wanted. Did she put up a fight? We can't play that song anymore, man. Did she put up a fight? Has not aged well.
Not at all.
Has not aged well. Should we do Tiger? Should we come back and talk to GP? We'll take a break, come back and talk to GP, and we may even go over it with Tiger. We'll go over what Tiger said today mm-hmm. with GP and get his views on these titles as well. We also have this. We have the return of Chris Harrington. We have the Jessica Benson, and we have the very controversial SEC mascot rankings. All that on today's show on Championship Tuesday, 92.9 FM ESPN.
As a small business owner, when was the last time you considered switching internet providers?
I don't even remember. Running a business keeps me pretty busy.
Let's compare your current provider to Comcast Business. Are you getting fast, reliable internet?
Sometimes.
How about a full suite of innovative services like separate Wi-Fi networks, 4G wireless backup, and advanced voice solutions?
I highly doubt it.
Sounds like Comcast Business could give you more. Make the switch to the nation's largest gig speed network now and get an amazing deal. Right now, get fast 75 megabit internet for $49.95 per month for 2 years when you add two voice mobility lines and sign up for paperless billing and autopay. Call 1-800-501-6000 today. Comcast Business. Beyond fast.
Monthly service charge increases by $10 without paperless billing and auto pay. Offer ends 8/21/19. Restrictions apply. New business customers only. 2-year agreement required. Early termination fee applies. Equipment taxes and fees extra subject to change. Backup limited to up to 8 hours.
Hey, babe, you know that skateboard?
Oh, no. How bad?
A sprain, maybe a break. We're headed to the...
No, not the ER. Go to Campbell Clinic after hours in Germantown or South Haven.
We don't have an appointment.
You don't need one. With Campbell Clinic after hours, you can walk in, get treated, and get home.
Okay, we're headed there now.
Campbell Clinic Orthopedics, the official sports medicine provider for the Grizzlies, Redbirds, and Tigers.
This is Gary Parrish. The Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar is a great place right next to the University of Memphis campus on the Highland Strip. And if you have an event, a birthday party, a wedding party, a graduation party, any kind of party, book some space at the Bluff. You can rent out any part of the Bluff, the front to the back to the mezzanine, and the place is big enough to accommodate 600 people. They can cater the event for you, or you can provide your own catering. Terrific rates, and you can trust that someone on staff is going to be on site to make sure your event is perfect. TheBluffMemphis.com and click the Host Your Event tab to get it booked today. TheBluffMemphis.com.
You're a real guy, and you need real tools for real work. You need We Sell Tools. Because, well, that's what we do. We sell tools for real guys for real projects, like a car that needs fixing or things that need to be done around the house. We sell tools for all your projects. Tools. That's it. No patio furniture. No plants. Just tools. We sell tools. Drop in anytime. We're at the northeast corner of Kirby Whitten Road and Summer Avenue.
Guys know more is better. So this month, Sport Clips Haircuts is thanking our clients with the Sport Clips Instant Replay. It's double the MVP experience for the price of a single. So after your fresh cut, we double your relaxing massaging shampoo and our legendary hot steam towel. You can even turn your hot towel into a refreshing chilled towel to get the MVP on ice. Instant Replay. It's the MVP on repeat. Download the Sport Clips app and check in online today.
At Indeed, we understand that when it comes to hiring, it's important to have a large talent pool to choose from. But sometimes too many good options can be overwhelming. That's why Indeed doesn't just give you access to a large pool of job seekers. We also offer screener tools that let you instantly narrow down your search. Hone in on hiring with Indeed. Experience Indeed for yourself today and get a free sponsored job upgrade on your first posting at Indeed.com/promo. Terms and conditions apply.
You make a million tough business decisions every day. So here's the easiest one of the year. Dell's Cyber Monday in July is back and bigger than ever. Get no-brainer deals on the very latest computers with Intel Core processors and a huge selection of servers, electronics, and more. All with free shipping on everything. To make your decision even easier, Dell's small business technology advisors can help you find just the right tech. Call 877-BUY-DELL. That's an easy call to make at 877-BUY-DELL or visit dell.com/small business.
What's your case worth? Dial #529 on your cell. Pound law, that's all.
There was James Wiseman crumpling his 7'1" body into the front seat of a Corvette. What was crazy is when I tweeted the picture, how many like Kentucky fans and other fans would reply at NCAA, you should look into this. And it's like, James Wiseman didn't own that Corvette. He doesn't even have a driver's license.
That's even better.
Yeah, he's been, you know, too busy unicorning or whatever.
Mark Giannotto, Jeffrey Wright, Giannotto and Jeffrey. Weekdays from 2 till 4 p.m. 92.9 FM ESPN. Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios. Invested in our communities. Making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by Gary Parrish. Gary Parrish, college basketball columnist, national college basketball columnist, CBSSports.com, a multiple Emmy-winning television personality, host of the GP Show, and a rising star in the field of meteorology. He joins me now. Gary, how are you?
I'm good. You okay?
Good. We're ranking titles here, underappreciated titles. The Grizz won the Summer League last night. And seemed to enjoy themselves. Everyone seemed to enjoy themselves. Fans on Twitter were enjoying themselves. And so I decided to rank underappreciated Memphis titles. Now, some were so unappreciated they didn't make the rankings. And those were the 2013 Grizzlies named Ultimate Best Franchise in Sports by ESPN the magazine. Rest in peace. And so there was that one. There's the Memphis Redbirds titles that they're just stacking up now. And then, though, in terms of the ones that we actually included in the poll, We went with this Summer League title, the 2015 Summer League title, the 2002 NIT title, and Memphis Pom every year. Which will you savor more as a proud Memphian?
I think last night's. I think I'm still excited about last night's, if only because first off, let's start with the obvious. It doesn't mean anything. It's not a real title to be celebrated. I don't know why you have to explain that to people, but monitoring my Twitter mentions, you have to you do have to explain it to
people.
Because
they're telling that to you, or because they're telling you that, or because they're not, they're really celebrating like it's an actual title.
Oh no, I don't think you have anybody celebrating like it's an actual title outside of maybe Ja Morant. but there are plenty of people anxious to remind you that
as if I were unaware.
Right. Because I tweeted something along the lines of, listen, all I know is Grayson Allen won a national championship at Duke in 2015, and now he's stacked a Summer League title on top of that, and it's just rings on top of rings. And people were two things. One is like, the Grizzlies are going to be picked last in the West. How does this change that? Well, nobody said
no
it does.
Said that.
No. Nobody said that. You're arguing points I've never made. And then secondly, you know, the obvious reply from dummies was like, that's all you know about Grayson Allen? What about his tripping? Well, right. that's the joke, moron, is that you leave out the most obvious thing people associate with Grayson Allen to be proud about a mostly meaningless Summer League championship. Like, that's the tweet. That's the tweet. That's why it works. You're the only one who doesn't. You're not the only one who doesn't understand that. There's a lot of you.
Right.
But, like, I cover basketball for a living. Do you really think all I know about Grayson Allen is that he's won a championship in 2015 and now has a Summer League title as well? So I don't know why you have to explain these things to people on Twitter, but I know that you do. And so I know it doesn't mean anything, but it seemed fun. And to the extent that it could mean to the extent that it does anything, you have a photo, a snapshot of the players you are expecting to someday return this franchise to relevance, all in the same scene, celebrating something. And obviously Brandon Clark was the only one on the court, and he was spectacular through the entire Summer League, and looks like, you know, a lot of people are now calling the still of the draft. In fact, a lot of people said it the morning after the draft, the night of the draft, but especially after the performance in Summer League. And you've got John Jaren enthusiastic on television about what they were watching, and it doesn't mean that any combination of these players are going to win 38 games this season, but it does mean that you can continue to do what you were already doing if you're a Grizzlies fan, which is get excited about what the future might hold.
It's and that's to me what the difference, the 2015 Summer League title, besides one happened last night and one happened in 2015, and today is today, not 2015, is that these are in fact the players, even if they weren't on the court, these are the players, and that was the coach. Like, this is the future. Whereas that was never the future. Ridiculous wasn't the future. He was just the summer. Like, that, people hoped he might be a bit part. Like, he might, he could be a valuable bench player. Like, people did have hope for Russ. I'm not saying that after that summer. But they did. But they didn't. He was never going to be a core piece. Whereas Brandon Clark, people are thinking he's going to be a core piece or hoping he's going to be a core piece. And so
if this works the way it's supposed to work, someday you will see Ja Morant throwing alley-oops to Brandon Clark in meaningful basketball games. And the fact that you had Brandon Clark as the MVP of Summer League, both the entire league and the championship game while winning a championship, as you point out, it's theoretically a glimpse of what might be to come.
In terms of those other titles, then I want to get back to Brandon Clark here in a minute. In terms of those other titles, 2015 Summer League, we don't really remember anything about it. Memphis Pom, pretty awesome. You got to say, like, I'm quietly proud that that Memphis Pom exists. But then there's the NIT title. Are you proud of that? Is Memphis basketball proud of that? It's embarrassing, isn't it?
They
should have been in the title. They should have been in the tournament. That was an awesome team.
Yeah, context is what matters when it comes to an NIT. So if Penny Hardaway in his first year would have won an NIT title, I still would not have had a parade. But that is something you could have been proud of.
Jeremiah Martin
leading Memphis to an NIT. That would be something that you would not look foolish celebrating. Why? Because it would be an example of a very specific team with a roster of guys who have been through it. Some of them on their third different coach. Some of them who didn't come here under proper circumstances. That team overachieving to win a championship. The 2000 NIT is a roster that featured DeJuan Wagner, Kelly Wise, Scooter McFadden, Chris Massey, Earl Barron, Antonio Burks, Anthony Rice, Dwan Irwin, John Grice. The idea that that team was in the NIT was a massive disappointment. The Tigers that year were one of the biggest disappointments in college basketball. I mean, it would almost be like, not quite, although maybe, this Memphis team going to the NIT,
right.
The one we're about to watch.
It wouldn't be that bad, but it would be pretty bad. Like DeJuan Wagner was the equivalent, was James Wiseman.
DeJuan Wagner, Earl Barron, Antonio Burks, at the very least, all played in the NBA. The team had three NBA players to varying degrees, but still, three future NBA players. Antonio Burks was a future conference player of the year. I mean, John Grice was a JUCO All-American, and that team like missed the NCAA tournament. I believe they were ranked somewhere inside the top 20, not quite the top 10 in the preseason. But their preseason ranking won't be that much different than where the Tigers are probably ranked in the preseason. I bet it's within 10 spots. And so how would you feel at the end of this coming basketball season if –
in a parade down Beale Street with Precious Achiuwa and James Wiseman winning the NIT.
It's unbelievable. Like, you couldn't even imagine it, right? People would be screaming, well, this is what happens when you hire a high school coach. We'd be right back to that stuff. And instead, John Calipari, and this is the brilliance of John Calipari, he tricked people into being excited about an underachieving, disappointing season. And guess what? People did it. I know, like, you and I mocked it. But you could go on that goofy message board, and those fans were like, we're NIT chance, a national championship. Like, John, it was amazing at being able to make people think a certain, whatever he wanted them to think and feel, however he wanted them to feel about anything. In reality, you know, that should have been that was one of the most disappointing seasons of any college basketball team in the country, and it is probably the one team in the country that actually got a parade at the end of it. It's insane.
In terms of the two players,
like I guess who won the, like Michigan State, I guess won the national championship.
They might have had a parade.
In that year,
did
maybe.
They?
I don't know. So, but like whoever won the actual national, it wasn't Michigan State won in 2000. This is 2002. Whoever won it that year might have had a parade, but I feel comfortable saying this. At the most, two teams held a parade after that college basketball season, and one of them was Memphis, which was one of the biggest disappointments in America.
Maryland and Gary Williams won that.
There you go.
There you go. Is that Juan Dixon? Is that who that was?
That is Juan Dixon, yes.
Yeah. Okay. So, on to the two players who mattered, Grayson Allen and Brandon Clark. Grayson Allen... What's interesting is that he's known for tripping people, but he's also known for hitting shots. Like, that's what he was supposed to be. And you would think in the summer league, you would be able to do that your second summer. He was 2 of 23 from 3. Now, that's, you know, whatever. It's one summer league. But apart from the flagrant fouls getting tossed from a game, he didn't play particularly well. Thoughts on Grayson Allen? And I know you talked about this on your show. It's just got to be an emotional problem. I'm not making excuses for him, but at this point, if you're known for that and you keep doing it, like either you want nothing more in life than just to stop doing that so people would stop making fun of you, but he keeps doing it. It's obviously an emotional problem.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that needs to – it's something that they have addressed in some form. I don't know if Grayson's ever talked completely openly about it, but I know at Duke they tried to – they at the very least tried, perhaps actually did, get him some – you know,
help.
For lack of a better word, help, outside of basketball to address these issues, because whether it's tripping or the one very public meltdown he had on the bench at Duke or the stuff we saw in this summer league when he fouled Grant Williams in a way that you're not supposed to foul other basketball players, those are not normal reactions to basketball things. And yet they have too many times been his reaction to basketball things. And I had somebody from back then, when the stuff was going on at Duke, point out to me accurately that if you go back and watch, not just the play, this person was like, everybody watches the play where Grayson tripped this guy or tripped this other guy. Go watch the 3 minutes leading up to that play. That's the root of it. It always happens when bad things are happening to Grayson Allen. Like when he gets beat off the dribble two times in a row, and he's like, I can't let this happen again, trip. You know, it's something along the way. He gets frustrated by what's happening on the court, and then he handles it in a way that he knows he shouldn't. Like, he is not making a decision to do those things when he does them. They are things that just happen. I don't want to compare something on the basketball court to stuff in, you know, super serious, ugly stuff in real life. But, you know, people who are in violent relationships, you know, they always say, at least on the documentaries, you know, like, I don't know why I did that. I'll never do that again. I love you so much. And then the next fight, argument, something triggers it again. And they don't want to be violent in that way, and yet it just this triggers that reaction, and
none of which excuses it. Obviously, it's in the ultimately irresponsible for that.
Yes. But it doesn't excuse it; it explains it.
Right.
And Grayson Allen's got some level of that he deals with on a basketball court, and at some point he has not paid. I mean, he's paid a price for his reputation, obviously,
right.
But he hasn't paid like. A price in payback way. But that's coming if he doesn't rid himself of this. When enough NBA players are publicly saying he does that to the wrong person and it's going to be bad for him, then that means if he does that to the wrong person, it's going to be bad for him. And so he needs to get it, you know, resolved, addressed, for two reasons. A, it can't possibly be what you want to be known for. That's not fun. And B, you know, if you do that, if you do that to the wrong person, it could end badly for you, because Grayson Allen is a big man by normal people standards. He's a 6'5" athlete, but by NBA standards, he's still on the smaller side. And if he whacks the wrong person or trips the wrong person or says something to the wrong person, you know, they won't hesitate to pop him.
Brandon Clark. Forgot where you were on it. You didn't love him quite as much as the people who really, really loved him when the Grizzlies drafted him. What strikes you about it is that you wonder if, obviously the Grizzlies loved him. They moved up to get him, although he slid in the draft because his arms were short. Here's the problem with this is that the theory then becomes that, that the NBA, and just like the NFL, puts too much emphasis on stopwatch speed and arm length and hand size and whatever else, and not enough emphasis on can you play the game. And so you look at Malcolm Brogdon, and he goes where he goes, even though he can play the game. Like, he is under the ability to play the game, which Brandon Clark very clearly had, is undervalued, and the length of your arms is overvalued, and it's a mistake the league makes all the time. The only problem with, and I sort of believe that's true, the only problem with that is there's lots of really effective can-play-the-game college basketball players who actually then don't make it because they don't hit physical profiles. Hell, Joe Jackson was one of them, right? Or whatever. Like, pick any Villanova. Juan Dixon, we just mentioned him, right? He hung around the league for a while, but... there are lots of very effective college basketball players who you could probably tick off who don't make it because they don't have those rare physical gifts. Where do you come down on all of that?
Well, you make an important point there, which is we always look at the guys who slip in a draft because they're perceived to be not athletic enough or not tall enough or, you know, whatever. And, you know, so the guys – and then they make it, and we go, see, you should have paid attention. All Fred VanVleet ever did was win in college. And what do you think? He wasn't going to be able to figure out how to play in the NBA? You know, because he's a little shorter than you'd like him to be, a little less athletic than you'd like him to be? We do that with players all the time. And yet the list is longer of guys who don't fit certain physical profiles and then don't make it.
Jimmer Fredette's perfect one, right? Like he was brilliant in the league. I mean, in college. He couldn't make it in the league.
He was a great college basketball player. Now, not the most efficient player in the world, where maybe the difference is here. Brandon Clark was one of not just the best basketball players in the country this past season at Gonzaga. He was also the most efficient player in the country, not named Zion Williamson. And I believe his player efficiency rating over the past 10 years would have been the highest, if not, it would have been either the highest or in the top three or four highest of the past decade outside of Zion Williamson. And so he didn't get nearly as much attention because he was not perceived as an NBA prospect. I mean, keep in mind, this is a mid-major transfer. No, he was not on a draft board anywhere coming, at least not in any of the mock drafts, before this past college basketball season. When I talked to Mark Few the day after the draft, he was like, you know, it's tough. We knew we were going to lose Rui after this season. We knew it would be his last year of college basketball. We had no idea that we were losing Brandon Clark after this past season. Like, that was not the plan. The plan was for him to transfer to us, sit out a year, and then play two. He wasn't supposed to be an NBA prospect, but it became clear pretty early in the season he's definitely an NBA prospect because he was – again, just dominating college basketball players, you know, one night after another after another. So I liked him on draft night. I would have taken him where the Grizzlies were picking. Like I said, right, that on the night of the draft and the morning after the draft. But we will see. Like I as excited as people are about him, and so am I, and you should be. He still hasn't played in a real NBA game. Like, let's think about what actually happened over the past week in Las Vegas. Brandon Clark was an incredibly efficient basketball player while playing against other guys who were in college last year with him, or for the most part within the past two or three years. Well, in other words, the competition, yes, was upgraded up and down the roster because you're doing nothing but potential pros, but he was really just dominating the same type of people he spent this past college basketball season dominating. You know, when he gets in real NBA settings against real NBA players, do his physical shortcomings become more of an issue? I don't know. I'm optimistic. I want to be clear, but I'm not surprised that he performed well in summer league, because when faced with similar types of players throughout the college basketball season, he performed well basically without exception.
Okay, final topic. I got up this morning to listen to Tiger Woods talk. And
I did not, so you're going to fill me in here.
All he could talk about was the stupid British Open. Like, Memphis barely came up. It was really like a total. I was like, where are the people asking about whether you're going to play in Memphis? They were asking about this course over there and majors and stuff like that. But we do have, and I'm going to play for you, what he said about his schedule, and we're going to try to read between the lines and decide together, between the three of us, whether Tiger Woods is going to play Memphis. Here it is.
As I was describing to you guys last year, I played too much. I played 17 events, and a lot of it was trying to qualify for certain events, trying to get into the playoffs, trying to qualify for Akron. It was just trying to build a schedule, you know, to get me where my world golf ranking would get me up there, where I would be in the World Golf Championships and some of the bigger events, where I didn't need an exemption into the Masters, not in the Masters, into the U.S. Open. So this year I made a conscious effort to cut back on my schedule to make sure that I don't play too much. I want to play here as long as I possibly can. And you have to understand, if I play a lot, that I won't be out here that long. And so it's understanding how much I can play, prepping how much I do at home and getting ready. And that's the tricky part, is trying to determine how much tournament play I need to get the feel for the shots, and also understanding where my body is.
Okay. Is he going to play Memphis, Gary?
I wouldn't be those aren't encouraging words. I mean, I my simple answer is I don't know if he's going to play Memphis, but those
Here's
words certainly.
Here's the thing, though. He did say he wanted to play so he could play in the World Golf Championship. Yeah, he said his body, he played too much last year.
Yeah, he also said it was a mistake to do it.
Yeah, and it was a mistake to play too much last year. But then he said, he clearly indicated how much he valued playing in World Golf Championships.
Right.
So I actually think he's playing. Let's go to our Tiger translator, Jeffrey.
Yes, Gary, you are correct in that he said he played too much, but I think when he's saying I played too much, meaning I played too much in the regular tour events, including he played Valspar tournament. He doesn't typically play. He played Valspar, Bay Hill. He played last year. He also played Honda. He's saying all those. And basically, Tiger is still from this generation where World Golf Championships matter to him. And while the younger guys, they don't matter as much, for Tiger, they do. And I think what he was saying is, listen, my schedule is about to become majors, World Golf Championships, maybe home events that that benefit my foundation, and then the playoffs.
I will say it was not from the words itself. It's hard to draw that much from it. If he plays, GP, you had talked about going on vacation that week. Then you talked about not going on vacation that week or something, so you would be around to go see him play, walk around on Southwind. Where are you? If he plays, are you going?
Yes, 100%. And taking my children. I have a flight next Friday. I'm going to Colorado Springs for USA Basketball. But I intentionally made it a day later than I otherwise would be so that I can be there on Thursday. I'm going to go no matter what at this point.
Right.
I don't know that I'll take my children no matter what at this point.
It is funny. But like, if so many great golfers there without – I mean,
I know,
without Tiger,
like, I'm
it's
going
crazy.
No matter what.
You know, it's insane. It's Mickelson and Koepka and, like, it's everybody. They're all there. 48 out of 50 best players in the world, at least. Something like that. It's crazy.
Right. So I'm going to go no matter what. But this is one of the few times I've actually arranged my schedule around the possibility of seeing somebody, you know, and I do think he's that big of a deal, both in general and for this tournament. The tournament will be spectacular and no matter what, but it's a different deal when Tiger Woods is there. There are media members who will be here or not be here based on whether Tiger Woods is here or not. And so, fingers crossed that he's here. It's a game changer, but who knows? We'll see. I will say that, and maybe he just can, and I think I've read this about him or somebody said this about him. He doesn't want to withdraw after committing. Like, he doesn't like the idea of, I'm going to be in Memphis next week, but he really not 100% sure. And then he feels bad on Saturday and just decides, you know what, I'm just going to go home. Because the moment Tiger Woods says, I'm coming to Memphis, things change with that golf tournament. And so if he can hold off for as long as he can hold off to commit to being there, particularly when it's still up in the air for lots of different reasons, one of them just, on a very basic level, how he feels, then I understand why he's holding off to commit or announce that he will not be here. But it would have been nice for you to wake up at 4:45 this morning and hear Tiger Woods talk about his schedule.
I was just as happy to not have him do it at 4:45 in the morning.
Right.
Like, I didn't need that.
In a perfect world this morning, somebody would have asked about something and he would have said, I played too much last year. I haven't played as much this year, and I feel fresher than I've ever felt, heading into this Open Championship and then heading into the WGC event next week in Memphis. I can't wait to get there. It's going to be a fun 2 weeks for me. You'd have been like, woohoo, breaking news from the Daily Memphian. We didn't quite get that, but I think everybody is still holding out hope that when we look up next week, Tiger Woods is hanging out at TPC Southwind.
If he comes, is this bigger than Lewis Tyson?
I don't know. Because, I mean, I would say no. I mean, Denzel Washington's not coming in to watch it, you know? You know, Leonardo DiCaprio is not flying in to watch it. So I would say it's not. It's a golf tournament that's not even
It's not the championship. It's not a championship. So it is the
that
biggest.
That was the biggest boxing match of the year.
Tiger is a bigger star. I think Tiger now is a bigger star than Tyson or Lewis were then. But he wasn't competing for the mat. He's not competing for the Masters here. He's competing for a World Golf Championship here. They were competing for the heavyweight title. I think that event was bigger, but I think Tiger is bigger. I think more people would like to say, I saw Tiger Woods, than would like to say, even as big as Mike Tyson was, I saw Mike Tyson or I saw Lennox Lewis. Do you agree with that or not?
They're both icons.
They're both icons.
I mean, they're both icons, undeniably. Mike Tyson, Tiger's huge. Mike Tyson, it was massive. I mean, it's why
Mike Tyson was more of a meteor, though, flying across the sky. Whereas Tiger is a, I mean, Mike Tyson in those years when he was Mike Tyson was massive. But don't you, I mean, Tiger Woods is a bigger star than Mike Tyson. There's something almost, maybe it's just in the passage of time, Mike Tyson's become almost comedic, you know?
Yeah, I at the height of Mike Tyson, you could reasonably, I don't know,
you
could possibly make the argument he was the biggest athlete in the world. Yeah, I mean, they're both massive. I will say, but that was the biggest boxing match of the year. I think it was maybe the only time Tyson or Lewis fought, you know, that entire. So, like, you had one shot in that year to watch Mike Tyson box and to watch Mike Tyson compete in a high, you know, in that type of event. Whereas you've had all sorts of opportunities this year to watch Tiger Woods play golf. I would say Tyson Lewis, bigger event. Everybody flew to Memphis for it. But this is awesome, and I hope it works out exactly the way we all hope it works out.
Thanks, GP. We'll talk to you at 5 o'clock. That is Gary Parrish. Gary Parrish from the Gary Parrish Show. You, Jeffrey. Let's hear that again. Can we hear Tiger again? Can we hear the words again? This is what he said at 5 o'clock this morning from his pre-British Open press event.
As I was describing to you guys last year, I played too much. I played 17 events, and a lot of it was trying to qualify for certain events, trying to get into the playoffs, trying to qualify for Akron. It was just trying to build a schedule, you know, to get me where my world golf ranking would get me up there, where I would be in the World Golf Championships and some of the bigger events, where I didn't need an exemption into the Masters, not the Masters, into the U.S. Open. So this year, I made a conscious effort to cut back on my schedule to make sure that I don't play too much. I want to play here as long as I possibly can. And you have to understand, if I play a lot, that I won't be out here that long. And so it's understanding how much I can play, prepping how much I do at home, and getting ready. And that's the tricky part, is trying to determine how much tournament play I need to get the feel for the shots, and also understanding where my body is.
And what do you consider the key part of that?
The key part of that is I played too many events trying to get myself qualified to play the World Golf Championships.
So embedded in that was his – embedded in that sentence, you heard his respect for World Golf Championships.
Exactly.
Is what you heard embedded in that.
It's also important to note he's basically taken a month off right now.
I think that's probably right. Okay. When we come back, Chris Harrington is going to join us or rejoin us, and that is a good thing. We'll talk to Chris Harrington next. Then we're going to do the all-important SEC mascot power rankings. We may enlist the help of Jessica Benson to do that. It's Jeff Glockin Show. Back in a moment, 92.9 FM ESPN.
The Memphis Grizzlies select Ja Morant from Murray State University.
Puts it home. It's a Ja Morant.
What gave you the confidence to know that your game was big enough to belong on a stage like this?
It started with me
I feel like if you don't believe in yourself, then who will?
And drills it.
Ja Morant time in Memphis. The Memphis Grizzlies on 92.9 FM ESPN.
This is Andy Wise. For 20 years, I was Memphis TV's chief consumer investigator. I'm out of TV news now, but I'm still your consumer investigator. I've launched my own consumer advocacy venture called Wise Choices at andywisechoices.com, where I still work for your protection and where I endorse local companies with your best interest. And one of those companies is Cooper Systems.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.